right. Here we go on another hot summer Sunday morning in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loan Studio every Sunday morning at 8 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Las Vegas, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. Also here, social media director Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz.
And producer and Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network's locker room reporter, Chris Magnum Chapman. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's Outta Line. Follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loan Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own. RCG Home Loans is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. Call 702-964-5720 to get information on all of the home financing options currently available on tap.
Thankful to have this gold medal around my neck. I got one. Three more to catch K, but special group, and glad we got it done.
They got it done. Steph Curry, number 5 in a row for the USA, the women's team right now, going for 8 in a row, having a little bit of struggle with France. We'll talk about that. Aces up. It's a short one today, but we will nightcap's a short one today. Aces up. We'll talk some Olympic gold medal basketball, hopefully gold medal for the women. And fact, this an Olympic size question. You want to stick around for that one. I need some answers. The Bones talking Raiders and NFL preseason football, and the Las Vegas Aviators are back in town starting on Tuesday for a 6-game set. We'll talk all about all of that coming up. That is What's on Tap. If you are looking to buy a home or to refinance the home you currently own, contact RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Loans. Call 702-964-5720 for details on current home financing options today, if I can get all that out. Welcome to a hot Sunday morning in August, and it is an Olympic Sunday morning as we are, the final day of the Olympics right now. And USA is taking on France. As I look up, it's 58-57, a tight one. France, for a little bit, looked like they were definitely going to make it a run and win the game. They're still right in there. I'm saying USA will find a way to win. The thing is, if you want to know what the difference is and why France is playing so well, number one, they're playing at home, man. That is a home crowd that is absolutely juicing them up. And number two, they play really good defensive basketball. USA has not seen a defensive team like this in tournament play to this point in time. France is in the championship game for a reason. They can play a couple of WNBA players on the French team as well. And they're playing well. 60-57 right now, 3-point game, and there's a little over 2 minutes to go. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. Let's get into it, fellas. Let's get right into nightcap. We missed a week. We're back. First week I've taken off in a long, long time, but I enjoyed it, man. Let's hit nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, not a great deal to talk about when it comes to hockey right now. This is probably the time we'll talk the least about it. But you know where you can always find great information on the Vegas Golden Knights, what's going on in hockey? Check out sinbin.vegas, man. Ken Bulkey and company do a great job over there. I get a lot of my insight from there. One of these days I'll have to have Ken on the show. But wrote a little article on Nicholas Waugh, a guy who's really a fixture now with the Vegas Golden Knights. He's a center, but he's kind of your third, maybe fourth option at center. I'm guessing he's going to center the fourth line this year for the VGK. But he's a guy that can also play the wing as well if they need him to move up on another line. He's a very versatile offensive player, a big guy, can put the puck in the net, can also dish the puck off pretty well, and just a solid player that's always going to be in the roster when he's healthy. And just as I said, a really good article in sinbin.vegas right now you can check out about Nicholas Waugh and his value to this team and where he fits in. And he really is, man. He is a player that this team relies on, healthy more times than not. And I really like what the article had to say because he really does fit in. I think he will be the fourth line centerman, but he can play wing on upper lines if needed. And he can even center up in lines. You can never have too many guys in the middle. And Nicholas Waugh, really, you can tell by his statistics, he likes it in the middle and is a good, solid player for the VGK. So that's it, man. That's what I've got for Nightcap tonight. I told you it's going to be a short one. Not a lot to talk about in hockey right now, but there's a lot of talk about in general. And, you know, missing last week, we didn't get to talk about the Olympics update, what's going on. United States, no surprise, running away in the medal count. But China is right there in the gold medals. As a matter of fact, if USA finds a way to win this game, I think they'll be tied with China at like either 39 or 40 gold medals apiece. And that really is a significant number. China really likes that number. Australia does as well when it comes to gold medals versus the U.S. And China right in there. And there's a few things going on today. I think five more medals to be handed out. This is one of them. And I think China has an opportunity in another event, and so does the USA. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out. But, you know, aces up. We want to talk about the aces for them playing in this game right now against France. It is now right now.
Yeah, Jackie Young.
Yeah,
fouled
no, Jackie.
Out,
so, yeah, Jackie Young's hurt. I know that. But
no, she's not hurt. She fell down.
Fell down. But four of them are in this game, and a significant part of the WNBA, the best team in the WNBA the last three seasons. This season is going to be a little bit of a struggle for them, but they're looking for a three-peat, something that's only I think happened once before.
Yeah, Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson have basically played this entire second half. Like, I don't think either one of them have come off the floor.
They're not. So now Breanna Stewart's been on the floor a lot too,
and Jackie Young probably would be in there if she didn't foul out. So that kind of U.S. going to get the ball back up three now. France with
62-59, under a minute to go in the game. It is a great game. I'm glad I recorded the end of this game. I'm going to go home and watch it at the end. We'll see what happens in the final.
Cooper has been huge for the United States. Kaylee Cooper.
Yeah, I see her right now.
She's really hitting some big shots.
Well, if you're watching the game, you could turn up the radio. We'll keep you posted on that. Again, the women's basketball team is looking for their eighth consecutive gold medal, most by any team. If they win this game, it'll be 61 straight wins. The last time the USA women's basketball team lost, guys, 1992 in Barcelona. It has been a long time. We're talking 32 years since this team has lost
by
a basketball game.
In 1992, I don't think the U.S. women were using professional players. I think they were still using college players while the, quote, unified team, a.k.a. Soviet Union, they were using pros.
Well, of course.
Yeah. They've
always been. The Soviets always used pros in hockey. That's why
they were so
dominant
good. Yeah.
For so many years until they allowed and they said, you know what, let's make it where the Olympics use the best athletes in every country, no matter what their status is, amateur or professional. It was the smartest move ever. It's so fair. It's not funny. And, you know, the tragedies of that, though, you date back to, like, Jim Thorpe. And that poor guy, man, played a summer of minor league baseball, went to Carlisle, a Native American, a school dominated by Native Americans, and he went to Carlisle. The guy wins.
I've actually been there.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You know, one of the coolest things to me, Chris, when I went to the NFL Hall of Fame to see Jim Thorpe's, actually you see a jersey of his and a uniform at the NFL, and I think it's one of the coolest things. Imagining, the thing that astonished me was looking at the cleats, like wooden sole cleats. Yeah. I can't imagine how people's feet, forget everything else in the aging process, your feet wouldn't probably let you play beyond 35 years old from what they had to go through and the types of shoes they wore back then. But the crime is, they took away this guy's medals, a decathlete, no question. At that time when Jim Thorpe was around, was the best athlete on the planet. Take away his medals, and then they give it back to him, his family post-mortem, which is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever seen. But unfortunately, back then, it was complete amateur status. They didn't take into account what was going on in other countries. It was here, and he played a summer of minor league baseball, got paid minimally, and got his medals removed for that. And really, you know, that's began the downfall of Jim Thorpe and his life and what he went through. Really, really a tragedy, man. One of the greatest athletes ever. But talking about this right now, aces look like they're going to potentially get the win, although France has the ball back down three
still. Asia Wilson just traveled.
And I saw that she traveled. We're right down to the nitty-gritty in this one, and pretty incredible. Chris, our phone line's ringing yet? I don't know if
Chris
Wynn was going to call in and talk about the game, but I think he was waiting to see till afterwards to say what happened, which is fine.
Airball. U.S. is going to
Yeah, they could milk it right now. They got to foul them. They got
to. I don't know
them.
If I will. I would have tried to get the ball in the hands of Kelsey Plum.
Yeah, well,
like
the bottom
money
line is
from the line.
The key is you can't waste any time. Time is money, and there's just over 17 seconds left to go in the game. Again, USA up three with Asia Wilson going into the line to cement the game if she can. With once again,
the worst part of this is if somehow the U.S. loses this game, the idiots who will be out there saying, "Oh, Caitlin Clark should have been on the team." She wouldn't have been on the floor. So
no, and that's the whole thing. I think she would have seen the floor.
Not right now. She wouldn't have.
Right now, she would not be on the floor, and it wouldn't make a difference. Down the road, in four years,
she'll be the best player
on
the team.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Well, Asia makes one of two, so U.S. up four with 17 seconds.
Up four, 17.4 to go in the game, and France is getting the ball. There's a timeout on the floor again.
You know, a lot of people forget. 3 years, well, it was 3 years ago. It should have been 4 years ago, but stupid COVID ruined everything. But the U.S. won the gold medal, and they played Japan, who was the host country, and there were no fans in attendance. And Japan gave the United States a game
with no
fans up until the fourth quarter with no fans. So there's definitely an advantage. And, you know, I like the weird sports. I like to watch handball. And French teams have done – first of all, they're really good at handball to begin with, the men's and women's team. I don't know if they – I know the men lost to Germany, which was one of the most wild finishes in any sport I've ever seen. I've never seen a team, basically the way it works, there was 5 seconds ago, and Germany conceded the game. They're down by a goal. They conceded the game. France, for some reason, called timeout with 5 seconds to go. Germany intercepted the inbounds pass, tied the game. They went into overtime, and Germany won in overtime. It was unreal because Germany said, "The game's over. We're not even going
to. We don't need the last 5 seconds.
We're not even going to play defense." And for some reason, France called the timeout. And I don't know why. Like, I obviously don't speak French, so I didn't get to see what the coach had to say. But it's a wild sport. And, you know, there's definitely, I mean, you look at the medal count, the way France has done, especially in the swimming pool with that Leon Marchand guy. I mean, that guy he's the star of the
France had a tremendous, amazing Olympics. They really did.
The home teams usually get a big boost. Like, I remember years ago, Greece, when they hosted, they won so many more medals than, like, I think they won more medals in that Olympic Games than they had won ever in their history. And since, like, you look at their medal count for this year, I think they have, like, a handful of medals. But, you know, there's a boost playing at home. And, you know, the United States, when we host in 4 years, I think they're bringing back baseball. But the problem with baseball is you can't get major league players to play because it's
during the season.
But,
and they're not going to split the season like they do in the WNBA.
But in Japan and Korea, they're willing to put the season on pause like the NHL will.
For the Olympics.
For the Olympics. So it'll be United States college kids taking on
in the United States 162 games. They're already practically playing in November. You just can't extend the season anymore.
The way you do it is you shorten the season. You say, you know what, for 2028 we're going to take the 2 weeks
we'll
off
play
or whatever.
150 games.
Yeah. You know what? Nobody's going to miss the Tigers and the Marlins series. Nobody's going to miss the Pirates and the Royals. I'm sorry if you're a fan of those teams. Great. Nobody's going to miss the Mariners against the Mets, except I shouldn't say that because we're playing it tonight.
Well, they would. The people would bum out this year because they would be bummed about the White Sox. They wouldn't capture the
devious
record if there was only 150 games. They probably wouldn't lose 121
but like
of them. But they might.
The Nippon Baseball, they'll take 2 weeks off and they'll send their best players and they'll win.
And I think when it comes to the Olympics, this should be it. If she can ice the game, 64-61, Chelsea Plum at the line, and now
bang.
It's a four-point game.
Money.
So here comes
U.S.
France.
Is going to let them, just don't foul. Just don't foul.
You can let them chuck it from the rafters. Short.
Oh!
Oh, she hit it. Wow, crazy ball. We're watching the game. 5 seconds to go, 4.9, and it is a one-point game.
They better get this ball in bounds.
And they fouled.
Cooper's fouled.
And they 3.8. Yeah, 3 point. Wow, this is a crazy game. What a game by the French!
The girl with the Rolling Stones tattoo on her tricep. She's got a Stones tattoo.
We'll keep you posted. We're gonna have a final.
That's
that
a
game
money
in
shot.
A second.
Was that over Asia Wilson too?
It was deep too. That was a Steph Curry.
It was over Asia Wilson. Yeah,
that was way back. I mean, that was
that's
downtown.
NBA range.
No, beyond NBA range. That was a bomb.
That was a Steph Curry three right there.
And Kalia Cooper. Here we go. This is it right here. And once you got to hit the second one, make it a three-point game, and then maybe you do foul. I don't know.
Is LeBron James wearing a UNLV hat?
Might have been a USA hat. I think.
I saw U and an N. I didn't see what else was on there, but
you for sure saw an N.
Yeah, I absolutely saw. She hit him now. You foul. You got a foul, right?
Well, you.
Oh my gosh, she gave her. They gave her the whole floor.
Get down. She was on the line. She was on the line. I'm telling you right now, that's a two-pointer. Watch and see. She was on the line. Even if they count it.
I don't even know if they're going to count it. That was a two. Banked it in.
Yes.
If she counted, I can't believe the U.S. didn't foul.
What a game.
I cannot believe they didn't foul there. Well, that was,
I can't believe they let him come up the court at least.
Look at how much space she has.
They had no on-ball defender whatsoever.
Yeah, that's not a three.
No, it's definitely a two.
Oh, my God. They survived by a point.
Yeah, I think that counts,
I think it counts.
I think that counts. Wow. So, all right, well, I guess I can officially say it. I don't think it's going to change unless they call a foul somehow, which there's no way they're going to, though. It's over.
That's over. Yep.
It's over. So USA women, 8 straight gold medals now, 61 straight wins again dating back to 1992 in Barcelona. How about this? Diana Taurasi, first woman in Olympic history to win 6 gold medals in a team sport. That's pretty impressive, man. 6 Olympics. That's 24 years? I mean, that's a 24-year span, 6 Olympics. That is absolutely unbelievable if you look at what she's done. Like her, dislike her, whatever. It's hard to say somebody that's played in 6 different Olympics now is not the GOAT. I mean, do you call her that? 6 Olympics, 6 gold medals. By longevity alone, man, Diana Taurasi, man, got to take her hats off to her. Chris Wynn, call it in, man. Appreciate the call. See, Wynn, you got to watch the whole game. Me and Chris have been trying to do the show while we're watching on the screen here in studio. I missed most of the first half of the game, but the gist is, from what I've read, the little bit I've read for the show, it has been France's defense that USA just hasn't seen anything like that to this point in the tournament, and what gave them fits throughout this game.
Good to join you, Brian. Good to join you, Mag. Of course, yeah, it was definitely a game that rolls right down to the wire here. Eh? How about a little cohesion between both the men's side and the women's side, guys, on the basketball court in this Olympics? As the men's team, of course, now double digits there late in the third quarter going into the fourth, and they're able to come back, storm back in the fourth quarter led by Steph Curry in that game. And then, of course, the women in this game down 10 points, gentlemen, in the third quarter, and then what happened? Well, Nakia Copper decided that she's going to take over this basketball game, and Asia Wilson did it on the defensive end as well, too. Asia, just unbelievable. There's a period, right, guys, where there was like a three-minute spurt in which Asia Wilson, I think she had 4 blocks in about 3 minutes, and really got the USA, you know, going from a mental standpoint in this game. And then, of course, you saw what happened down the stretch here with Nakia Copper and USA defensively, as they're able to capture, as you pointed out, Brian, at the top of the show, their 8th gold medal and now 61st straight game. But, guys, it begs the conversation, doesn't it, that, you know, in sports talk radio, the world is caught up, right, gentlemen? I mean, it just flat out has. I mean, look, the Team USA is able to capture another gold on both the men's side and the women's side, but I think it's safe to say that, you know, this is not your 1992 dream team by any stretch of the imagination. This isn't, you know, guys going out there and blowing out teams by 30 and 40 points, and then after the game you're getting autographs and you're pulling out your cameras to take pictures. It's not that kind of a situation anymore when you talk about the world stage and the Olympic Games.
No, man, it is not. And, you know, you'll hear after we do our fact this, I have a question I'm posing to everybody out there, because it's something that frustrates me with the Olympics. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, Chris, you know, this women's team put together, you know, a lot of discussion, and Chris brought it up, about Caitlin Clark not playing on this team. There's no question her, Angel Reese, Aaliyah Boston. We will see them, I'm guessing, on the 2028 USA Olympic team when they play in Los Angeles. But this team, really some seasoned veterans, a couple of people that have come up, but you know, Asia Wilson, Diana Taurasi, talking about two of the greatest that ever played this game at the women's game in the WNBA. And how about Diana Taurasi, Chris? I mentioned it, you know, a second ago, but you're talking about 6 Olympic gold medals in a team sport. That almost sounds ridiculous. I mean, unless two of the medals are earned as a coach after you get done playing, but that's 24 years of Olympic basketball and counting. I can't imagine we would see her in 2028, but that is one hell of an accomplishment.
Oh, no question about it, right? And you look at it, the way that she handled the being on the bench, right, for this entire, she was not one of the focal points for Team USA winning this gold medal. She's obviously, I'm sure she offered a ton of leadership off the bench, but, you know, this was not a situation in which Nana Taurasi was on the forefront, right? I mean, she just wasn't going to see the floor. And back to your point about Caitlin Clark. Look, Caitlin Clark is a great young player. Unbelievable accomplishments at the college level. There's no question about it. But the notion or the idea that she somehow should be anointed onto Team USA and that she was going to, you know, crack this rotation. I mean, look at the starting five, guys. You're just automatically putting Caitlin Clark in there, and she's gonna, you know, she's gonna be taking minutes away from Jackie Young and company. I mean, come on. I mean, I think it's a little. Look, she's going to have an excellent career, I expect. I'm not trying to predict anything here, but I just think it's a little bit disingenuous, and I think people are kind of, you know, reading her headlines for her with respect to Caitlin Clark and what it is that she would have brought to this 2024 gold medal version of Team USA.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. Caitlin Clark means the world to women's basketball, means the world to the WNBA, and is going to be the future face of the WNBA up there with Asia Wilson and others as the game goes on. Like I said, in 2028, unless something happened to her physically, Caitlin Clark will be on that team, will possibly be the best player on that team, give her time to develop. But, you know, what she has done for the game of women's basketball just to this point is unbelievable. The shot in the arm that the WNBA has needed since tragically losing Kobe Bryant, since he was such an amazing advocate for the WNBA, their biggest and most vocal spokesperson. And I really was concerned, not that the league would fold, but concerned about the profitability that had not been there to that point in the WNBA. And I'm thinking, man, without Kobe Bryant, this league is dead in the water. I don't know. And I don't mean to say, you know, that dead in the water, meaning it'll survive, but it's never going to reach the heights that it might have had Kobe stuck around. Now with Caitlin Clark, it has reached all new levels, viewership levels that have never been seen before, and that is directly related to her joining the league. I mean, she's responsible for that. But as far as this Olympic team goes, I think it was put together properly. I think that they did themselves justice by not putting her on the team, simply because you don't need a media circus around a player who's probably not going to be one of the significant parts that's going to make this team win. She could have contributed, just like Diana Taurasi contributed, but she wouldn't have been a major contributor. What she would have been is a media circus that they didn't need. So I think that was pretty smart. Chris, real quickly, just transitioning to the Aces before we talk about the men's team. The Las Vegas Aces, they went 8-2 in their last 10 games before the Olympics / All-Star break. They're a half a game back out of first place in the Pacific Division, 4 games back of the league's best record. Can this team realistically, with all the pressure and everything, repeat? Obviously, them not having, you know, that record is a little bit jaded in the respect that they were missing one of their best players, Gray. I mean, you know, without Gray in that lineup, they're not the same team. And we know that. She was the finals MVP. I mean, the girl is unbelievable. But now that everyone's back healthy, can this Aces team truly make a run and do something that's pretty much unprecedented, and that's win 3 championships in a row?
Yeah, Brian, I don't think there's any question about it. They can absolutely do it. Now, will they? That's the other question. It's always tough, right, to do something historic, right? It would be historic if you had a team that wins 3 straight WNBA championships. So, and especially coming out of the circumstances that we're coming out of, right? You're having now players that have been off for essentially a month, right, not playing with their teammates, not going through the routines, not being in the WNBA routine back here in the United States. They've been over there in Paris doing their thing. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least, right, guys, to see exactly how the Aces come together and, quite frankly, every other team in the WNBA, how they kind of respond and adapt to this entire situation. That is something that doesn't happen every day. So I think that they can absolutely do it. I'm not going to sit back here and say that you know, it's some foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination, but they definitely can, no doubt about it. And back to that point I brought up, though, and you guys kind of touched on it, talking about France and the world catching up, right? You got to give credit to these French women, right? Quality basketball team, played solid defense, whether it was Ayahi, whether it was Johansson, whether, you know, obviously Badun was effective as well, too, and, of course, Gabby Williams, big time for them as well, too. So, I mean, give credit where credit is due to this French women's team. They were right there in the end and end up losing by just a single point in this game.
Yeah, a tough loss for the French, but nothing to hang their hat on. What a great run. Getting a silver medal is huge, especially with it being held in Paris. And but I agree with you, Chris. I'm not handing it's not a foregone conclusion that the Aces are going to win their third championship. But with Chelsea Gray again healthy, this team clicking on all cylinders, I think they come back from these Olympics even more fired up. They just win a gold medal. Four of them did that. And I think they come back as fired up as can be and saying, okay, we got our Olympic gold. Let's go get that third championship. And they're going to be a formidable opponent to, no matter who they play down the road. Yes, everyone's going to be gunning for them, but it doesn't matter. You can gun for them all you want. The bottom line is you got to beat them on the floor. And to beat this team in any kind of a series over playing them one game where anybody can win is going to be tough. Winning two or three games in a series against them is going to be real tough. And I think they will be as tough of an out as they've ever been, even more so since they've got more doubters this year than they've had in the past couple of seasons. I think the last 2 years, everyone felt it was going to be their years. This year, I think everyone came in thinking it's definitely going to be their year. They weren't. A lot of people don't take into account the Chelsea Gray factor, and so they look at that record, they look at how they've stumbled, and they say this might be the year that they get upset. I think that's people are disillusioned because with them healthy, they're as good as anybody in this team, and cumulatively, they're the best team in the league. They've played together. The majority of these girls have now won a couple of championships, especially their core. They are going to be a real tough out again this year. And I'm going to say it right now. I think we're going to see the Aces repeat and be three-time WNBA championships in consecutive seasons, which is really, really cool. Not just for the WNBA, but for the city of Las Vegas, man. I mean, just to have this going on here as we morph into an incredible sports community, it's pretty cool, Chris, to see what's happened here. And the Aces really have been a big part of that.
It's going to be a lot of fun, right, Brian, to see exactly what transpires here and see if the Aces can pull that off, because that's going to be – it'll be big time, right, for the city of Las Vegas and for the, as you pointed out, you know, the emergence of our city as a sports town in America, to see if that actually happens. So, you know, the gold medal, another gold medal for Team USA, gentlemen. Got to love it how we're kicking some backside over there in Paris when it comes to the medal count, right, gentlemen? And then to cap it off, as I let you guys get back to it, how about the Eiffel Tower had to get evacuated today because some guy was trying to climb the Eiffel Tower. We're talking about basically hours before the final ceremonies there in the Olympic Games here in 2024. So kind of a weird way to cap off the Olympics here in the summer of 2024.
Somebody making that pretty famous and, you know, or somebody wanting to get himself famous at the end of the Olympics, and his name will go down in history. Not a great way to get your name to go down in history, but it will. I won't pay attention, but that is a way to end it. And, you know, a little bit of a dark day in the Olympics the last couple days with the gymnast Childs losing her bronze medal, Chris.
Yeah.
Was that official? They officially did it?
100% official. Wow. I don't know whether
this morning, it was revoked
It was revoked this morning. The one thing they haven't announced fully, are they going to make her give it back? I don't know how they wouldn't.
I think they have to,
You can't keep a gold and say, well, hey, I won this and they took it back. I'm pretty sure she has to forfeit.
The whole thing about that was, I watched it while it was happening. I didn't watch it live, but I watched it later that night on tape delay or whatever they call it, NBC's primetime.
Yeah.
And I was devastated for that Romanian girl. Like, I felt so bad for her. Like, as much as I thought it was great that Childs won the bronze, I felt so bad for that Romanian girl. Like, because they told her that she won the bronze. And then a minute later or whatever it was, and they did the same thing to – it won't get the coverage, but in one of the women's track races, they did the same thing. I think it was the 10,000 where there were a couple Kenyan girls and a couple of Ethiopian girls up near the front, and there was a shove, and one of the girls ended up, you know, I guess it took her off her balance from, like, the final lap or whatever, and she ended up falling way back to the pack. and they disqualified the one girl who kind of gave the shove. So an Italian girl was told that she won the bronze medal. Well, Kenya, I think it was Kenya, protested, and the protest was over, was upheld, not upheld, but they awarded the Kenyan athlete.
They gave her back the medal.
The one they originally disqualified, they said, well, she's no longer disqualified. And the Italian girl ended up losing the bronze medal. Like, that's, to me, that's yeah. it.
You almost want to give them a second bronze medal and just say, you know what?
In boxing, I don't know how much people are aware of this, but in boxing, they award two bronze medals because the turnaround to have to go back and fight another fight after losing the semifinal match, there's just not enough time to do it. And obviously, you don't want to punish.
Well, and the bottom line is you lost, so you got beat up a little bit. You don't have any recovery time.
So
that makes
you
sense.
Have two boxers who lost.
I
so,
actually like
you know
that.
What? In that situation, you know what? It was 4 seconds for Chiles. Give them both a bronze. The Italian girl, give her the bronze. Yeah. You know, like, to me, you can't disqualify someone.
Well, don't take away a medal once you've awarded it.
Once you've awarded it.
That's the big issue. It's like the person – Childs at least can lean back on the team gold medal. That Italian girl has nothing. You know, it's just – she gets it and then it's gone. I'm not going to disagree with it. Real quick, guys, transitioning over to the men's game. What a hell of a game the French played yesterday against the Americans. You know, and the Americans, it wasn't that they took them lightly, but, you know, also just so many things came out of this Olympics for me watching the men's game. A greater appreciation, believe it or not, for LeBron James. I don't want to say for Steph Curry. I've always had this appreciation for – I've always had an appreciation for LeBron. I don't want to make it seem like I didn't. But what the appreciation was, I love seeing how much he cared. He cared so damn much about the Olympics, and you could see – it wasn't pretentious. It wasn't a show for us. He really cared. You could feel it. And then Steph Curry, man, to bring out the guns like he did in those final two games. I mean, it is absolutely astonishing what this guy did in the Olympics. You can take nothing away from him. You know, it was his first Olympic appearance. And in the finals and semifinals, he combined to score 60 points, including 17 three-pointers. Both of those are the most by any U.S. men's basketball player in a two-game span in Olympic history. Steph Curry joins Michael Jordan as the only players to win an Olympic gold medal, multiple MVPs, multiple NBA titles, and multiple scoring titles. Jordan only has one thing over Curry when it comes to that. Do you guys either one of you know? That's real easy, too. You should be able to get
that.
Wait,
what's the question?
The question is Jordan and Curry are the only ones in Olympic history, the only ones to win an Olympic gold medal, multiple MVPs, multiple NBA titles, and multiple scoring titles. Jordan's got him on one thing when it comes to those types of things.
Defensive Player of the Year.
That I guess two things. No, Jordan
won and a college championship.
There you go.
Right?
He won a national championship with North Carolina, and of course, Steph Curry didn't play at a school that's ever going to win a national championship.
Did they
win a national championship, Brian?
Well, I think they went to the Elite Eight, right?
They went to the Elite Eight. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But the bottom line is that was pretty cool to look at the statistics. Steph Curry, out of his mind. That last shot he made, I really think if you look really closely and pause, freeze frame it, you'll see God's finger touch the basketball. Because, I mean, he threw it up into the rafters over two people falling back. Just an absolute moonshot rainbow that went in. And you know, it's just amazing, his range, and one of the greatest shooters of all time. And another thing I took from that game, why the hell is that guy Yabusele? What's his name? Yabusele. I mean, why is he not playing for the Celtics? He was drafted number one in 2016. He had 20 points. I mean, guys, I'm getting the poster. I've got to get that poster of that dunk over LeBron James. How epic was that in such a monumental game at such a monumental time?
Oh, it was big time, Brian. But Mags, Brian, I got to tell you, speaking about LeBron James, right, and this Olympic Games, it's kind of indicative of what LeBron James can bring to the basketball court from a versatility standpoint, right, guys? He doesn't have to be the guy that goes out there and drops a 40 spot on you, you know, and have 25 rebounds. He's somebody that can go out. Obviously, he had the triple-double in the championship game or in the gold medal game, but he's a guy that can absolutely defer to other guys on the court, right? He can be that guy that's the second banana or the third banana. And, you know, that's something that you absolutely have to respect about LeBron James, no question about it. Now, Brian Felder, you and I okay, as Detroit Pistons guys, right, as fans of a team that, you know, competed against LeBron many times when it came to the playoffs, there is this idea that pops into my head, and it's the same thing with Michael Jordan. I have a tremendous amount of respect for LeBron James as a basketball player.
Yeah.
Do I like LeBron James? Am I a fan? Not at all. But when it comes to, you know, what he can do as a basketball player and what he brings to the table, especially for Team USA here in the Olympic Games, you got to have all kinds of respect for it.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, the bottom line is it's his fourth Olympics, okay? But he is the only men's player to win a gold medal in 3 decades. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's Diana Taurasi, same type of a freaky stat, but 3 decades he's won a gold medal, and he is one of the leaders in the NBA. And again, you know, you could say Michael Jordan's the GOAT. I do, but in the same respect, LeBron James has always got to be right there in the smack dab in the middle of that conversation, as good as it gets, and, you know, truly the leader of this team. And like I said, my newfound respect for him in a different way is how much he actually cared about these Olympic Games. I love to see it. I just love to see all of them. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, these guys just really soaking it up and loving it. It was nice to see, because sometimes the arrogance of the NBA turns me off. It's nice to see when these guys humanize themselves and they care and they all get together for a common goal, which was the gold medal in the Olympics. They got it 5 straight. They'll be going for 6 straight in 4 years in Los Angeles. Be pretty cool. The other takeaway I had from this, you know, I definitely want to mention Kevin Durant, who I just did 104 career points in Olympic gold medal matches, is the most in men's basketball history. And how about Victor Wembanyama? I mean, 26.7 boards in this game, but this kid is the real deal. Like, oh my God, I saw Kevin Durant go up to him and grab his head at the end of the game and whisper, and you know what he's saying? You're carrying the torch, kid. Because the kid said after the game, you know, he's still learning. And he basically said, when I learned the game, lights out. And I agree with him 100%. Call it arrogance if you want. This kid is ridiculous. And he's going to be nothing but better. He is the size of Kevin Durant, but is going to be better, provided, of course, he stays healthy, which is always a key in professional sports. But if he does, we're going to be rewriting the record books with this kid. He's got all kinds of mad skills, and he's just too tall to have those skills. And his body will fill out a little bit as he gets older as well. But hats off to the French team, both men's and women's. They take silver in both sports. That's huge to that country. And the games they played against the men's and women's, respectively, in those gold medal games, again, nothing whatsoever to hang your hat on and be upset about, man. Great games. I really enjoyed watching the gold medal matches. And I'm going to tell you, I think all of us thought this game here was going to be at least a 15-point blowout by the women's team. And the French team surprised the hell out of me. Great coaching, great defense, great game, and a great Olympics for the United States. See, win, man.
By the way, final medal count, U.S. and China finish with 40 gold medals apiece. The U.S. women lost to Italy in the gold medal match in volleyball.
They would have won it.
They would have won. Yeah, but overall medals, the U.S. won, I think, 126-91
over
China.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, but they tied the gold medal match, which was something they wanted to do, which is cool. But again, see, when early morning on a Sunday, brother, you're all over the radio. You are Waldo, and we always appreciate you chiming in and hopping on the show with me. I appreciate it, my friend.
Always look forward to joining you guys on a little out-of-line action on this fine Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you guys again soon, all right?
Perfect. Thanks, Chris.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact this is brought to you by LifeLake Hair Center of Las Vegas. If you are experiencing hair loss or thinning hair and want to learn about the best non-surgical options available, call 702-737-5759 or go to lifelikehair.com and schedule your free consultation today. Fact! There are several Olympic sports that allow multiple athletes from the same country to compete in the same events, giving the countries they represent the opportunity to win multiple medals in the same events. Yet, there are multiple events that do not allow more than one entry per country. This makes little to no sense to me, and I would love someone to explain to me the reasoning and decision-making regarding this fact. Guys, this is what bothers me. Why in the world do you have, and people say, well, it's only team sports. No, it's not. How come Germany's allowed to enter three bobsleds in the four-man bobsled team then? That is a team event, and yet they can enter extra bobsleds to take first, second, and third place. Why is that? Why are certain sports you're only allowed to have one entry? Why in cross-country can the Germans have three skiers go and win gold, silver, and bronze? It's a way to rack up medals. I think, look, if you're going to allow it in some sports, allow it in all. Can you imagine if the women's basketball team could have three teams representing the U.S.? I'll bet they would have two teams on the podium out of the three. Okay. Same with the men's. If you could put two men's teams together, a second men's team could compete for a silver or bronze medal for sure. Why can you not do that in other sports? But you can do it in certain things. Downhill skiing, they dominate. You have teams that dominate these sports and don't give other teams the opportunity to win medals. Either make it universal where every team, you can enter three in it, no matter what category, or you get one entry per category and have a couple of alternates and maybe another opportunity for the alternates to win a medal or something. It just doesn't make sense to me, and it's bothersome.
I don't agree with that stance. I think, you know, in those sports, I mean, yeah, bobsled, technically, you have a team of guys, but they're all individual teams. Like, it's not like you get points. Like, yeah, Germany may go 1-2 in the bobsled, but it's not like those points count towards a team gold medal. You know, they do have, like, some of the individual sports, like figure skating. The U.S., believe it or not, they were awarded gold medals in this Olympics from the Beijing Games because apparently there was some funny business going on with Shocker, a Russian athlete. And so the U.S. ended up being awarded, but it was in team figure skating where they combined the points of everyone who skates. Like track and field, the U.S., I mean, not just the U.S., but like you watch Kenya in the distance events and the U.S. in the sprints. Like I watch the women's, I love track, so like I'll watch all of it. I literally did not get my ass off the couch at all this week because I was watching the track events. But like the women's 100 hurdles, we had three girls in the final. The men's 200, we had three guys in the final. So while we could go 1-2-3, it's not like 1-2-3 add up to give the U.S. a team total. Like they have events that are combined, like medleys and swimming and things like that. But I think it's different because technically a team sport, you're taking like basketball, what do you have, 12 players? You're taking the 12 best women from your country and putting them on the team, or the 12 best men. I don't know how many are in a volleyball team. I think there's only six on the floor at a time. Like some of the weird, like I shouldn't say weird because they're not weird in other places, but some of the stuff that I watch, like the field hockey, and they're bringing cricket. Check this out. So I was reading cricket is going to be in the Los Angeles Olympics, but they might play the cricket in New York on Long Island because of the fact that they want it to be in prime time in India and Pakistan, where it's the biggest sport in the world. So imagine, or they're bringing softball back. You know where they're going to play the softball? Norman, Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma, because that's where they have the Women's College World Series. So imagine you're an athlete from Australia or Japan, and you're in the LA Olympics, but you go to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, this year the only one we saw that in the Summer Olympics was Tahiti for
the
surfer.
But that's Tahiti. Listen.
You know, I was saying, Chris, if somebody gave me the opportunity, like you get to cover the Olympics, you can either go cover all the games in Paris or the surfing at Tahiti. I would have taken Paris because I would have wanted to go to Paris.
Yeah, but listen, Tahiti's not a bad consolation.
If you told me, listen, no, you got to go to Tahiti, I'm not crying about it, okay?
Yeah.
I'm pretty damn happy. Did you see how beautiful it was there? Like, ridiculous.
What blew me away was because I've never been there, and I mean I'm watching it. I watch the surfing in Japan because I knew the area where they were having it, but the Tahiti one, I didn't know that the wave breaks like 100 feet off the shore. Like you have a reef that goes from this breaking point to the shore. It's like 100 feet and then they go out in the ocean, like 100 feet from the shore where there's waves, but there's no waves breaking on the shore.
Yeah, it's really crazy, and the scary thing is you need to be so good to surf that with those waves.
Yeah.
The reef is so shallow beneath the waves that if you fall, I mean, you're going to get caught in a washing machine.
Well,
you're going to beat the hell out of yourself in the reef, and a reef will kill you. It's one thing to hit sand really hard. It's another thing to be crunched and go in a washing machine with a sharp coral reef.
Anyone who's snorkeled in Hawaii – and they've skimmed that reef.
Oh, you know.
You know. And listen, I know the North Shore. I've been there. I surfed growing up as a kid. I never surfed the North Shore because I'm clearly not good enough. But what a lot of people don't know is there's little caves underneath.
They can suck you right in.
Yeah, and there have been guys who've been sucked down into those little caves in the reef, and they can't get out.
Can't get out.
Mark Fu was a very famous surfer. Guy was a great surfer, and that's what happened to him.
That's how he died.
Yeah, he ended up dying because he got sucked into one of those caves.
Well, again, just to close on my thoughts there, I still think it's crap. I think that there's got to be a way to make it even. I just don't think – I don't have a problem with being able to win medals in multiple events, but I think if you dominate in those events, like, you know, basketball in the United States, there should be an opportunity to put multiple teams. I understand the point systems that Chris is talking about, but I just don't think it's fair that certain teams can dominate to that degree where some of these smaller countries will never have a shot when you're letting the third and fourth and fifth best athlete compete in a particular event. I've never felt great about it, and I've always wanted to kind of get somebody to give me some thoughts on that. Real quick, transitioning over to the Bones, and we'll start off talking about the Raiders and the NFL. Obviously, preseason in full gear. Most teams have played at least one preseason game now. Raiders played their first one yesterday. Spencer, you saw the game. You got to watch it. Of course, I didn't know who was going to come out first. I think it was very cool and classy of Antonio Pierce to let Aiden O'Connell be the starter. He came in last year. He started the last half of the season. You haven't announced who the starter is going to be, although I think when it's all said and done, it will be Gardner Minshew. Will be under center to start the first game of the season against the Chargers. However, O'Connell started yesterday. Spencer, what did you see between these guys? Was a couple of series good enough to learn what you needed to learn, or do you think you got to see a lot more? Because, I mean, the truth of the matter, we've seen both of them play at the highest level. They've both been starters in the NFL. So what did you see that you liked or didn't like?
Yeah, I don't think it was a courtesy thing for Antonio Pierce starting Aiden O'Connell. I think Minshew was starting to take the inside track out of camp, at least just from what I've heard. I obviously haven't been there, but it seems like Minshew is kind of separating himself a little bit.
Then why do you start O'Connell?
I think this was his opportunity. He said, I'm going to give you the start to go out and show us that you deserve to be the starter, even though right now you may be second in the race. Here's your opportunity. You're going to start. Now, it was a little bit unfortunate for him because he only got a handful. He had that one long drive. They started from the 2-yard line, and he got all the way there. Took a bad sack, but to get points out of starting on the 2-yard line was like a really big positive. And not only that, he did make some great throws. So it's not that I'm disparaging against O'Connell because I was impressed with a lot of things that I saw. It's just that Minshew made the most out of it. Now, he got more play. So, you know, going into week two, I fully expect Aiden O'Connell to get, you know, at, you know, 3 or 4 series and then maybe an equal amount. It just depends on the game flow, obviously. They wanted to give each quarterback a quarter, right? So it was a long drive on both ends and he only got one. But Minshew, man, he just looked really sharp. So he had the opportunity to have more opportunity, but he looked great doing it. He had a great throw to Trey Tucker, who's had a lot of dropping problems in camp from what I've heard. He tracked that ball really well. He dove and got it. And obviously the no-look touchdown pass to DJ Turner, who's also having an amazing camp, was really cool to see.
You know, I the guy that I was looking forward to seeing, I think I know you were, everyone was, Brock Bowers. You know, he had 26 TDs in 40 games at Georgia. He was drafted 13th overall in this last draft. He had 2 receptions, 25 yards in his preseason debut. Some scouts say he was the best football player in the 2024 draft. I'm not going to argue with it. The guy is a football player. He's a player, Spencer. They can move all around the formation. He's solid as a blocker. He is great after the catch. They'll plan to get him the ball early and often, and they're going to expect him to make people miss when he gets the ball. You know, you've got Michael Mayer, who they drafted last year, probably, Spencer, in my opinion, the best 1-2 tight end punch now in the NFL. I know they're both young, but the upside of both these guys and have them playing together, I think we're going to see an awful lot of 2 tight end sets this year for the Raiders.
Yeah, not only 2 tight end sets. Multiple times, Brock Bowers was motioned into the fullback position. One time he actually did play traditional fullback and was blocking upfield, which is unbelievable. I mean, how many tight ends in the NFL can do that right now? He's in a part of an elite group just right there. Other times he was running routes as a fullback out of there. They are going to move this guy all around. And Michael Mayer looks as sharp as ever. I think there's 14 snaps they played between the two of them. They were on the field for, I think, 12 of them. But it wasn't just your traditional I formation, 2 tight end sets. They are going to put this guy in the slot. they're going to put Michael Meyer all over the field. Now he'll probably play that traditional tight end role, but man, like having those two weapons really puts things in perspective. And you can tell Gardner mentioned Aiden O'Connell just love having that safety blanket. They were one of the worst teams last year in the red zone. I can't imagine that problem is not fixed this year by having two guys like that. I don't really know how you're going to guard them because both of them are so talented. We're talking about Michael Mayer last year. People loved him as the number one tight end coming out of the draft. And now you have a generational talent coming out of there too. Devontae Adams wasn't even out there. Jacoby Myers is having one of the best off seasons of his entire career. I'll just finish my thoughts with this, just like taking a look. And you can't overreact because of the preseason. Just when you look at what you see on paper and you can kind of see a glimpse of it, the fact that this is a 5.5 win total team in sports books is kind of unbelievable to me. They got better and they won 8 games last year.
Spencer, I'm not going to disagree with you. I like the Raiders. I think they're still going to struggle a little bit defensively, especially in the defensive secondary. But I think that offensively, they are going to be a fun team to watch. It's going to be interesting to see if somebody can pan out as a starting running back. I don't know if Samir White's the answer, but this team could be okay. I love the skilled positions at receivers. Who's going to be the quarterback? I think it'll be Minshew. We will see. The Raiders should be good. Some great debuts. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels' debut yesterday. Both of them look decent, but the best to me of all of them, the another 11 overall pick for the Vikings against the Raiders, J.J. McCarthy, man, the 10th overall pick. After Jack Jones picked him off in his first series, he looked really good, 11 of 17, 188 yards, 2 TDs, and they were both long ones with just the 1 interception. J.J. McCarthy, bet on him for Rookie of the Year, like plus 1,700 to 1. Too good of odds, man. I love it. I think he's going to be a star for the Vikings. Last thing, the Aviators back in town tomorrow, on Tuesday for a 6-game set. That's it. I want to thank Mag, Spencer, Chris Winford for chiming in. Out of line. We'll see you next week. We're out. Bye-bye.